You are listening to KBO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Talking Earth, and I am your host tonight, Patrick Bocard. Tonight's edition of Talking Earth shows off several facets of poetry in Portland. First, we will hear RJ Equality Ingram read poems from his new book, The Autobiography of Nancy Drew. Then we shall hear excerpts from the February 5th reading at the Wildwood Saloon, featuring host Mike G, among others. And now on to the show. Hello, you are listening to KBO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Talking Earth, and this is Board Op and sometime host Patrick Bocard. And I'm here in the cloud with my guest. RJ Equality Ingram lives in Portland, Oregon. RJ received their MFA in creative writing from St. Mary's College of California. Please, RJ, interject if I get anything wrong. Recent work can be found in Deep Overstock, Catchwater Magazine, and Miniskirt Magazine. Their debut poetry collection, The Autobiography of Nancy Drew, is forthcoming from White Stag Publishing in 2024. Welcome to Talking Earth, RJ.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for braving the weather today and getting home so we can do this. We're recording at the end of the end days of January when the ice storm is ending as well. So it's been an interesting last week or so.
It's peak Portland weather. It's very wet.
It is. Do you want to start off with a poem?
I thought I would start with the first poem in the book.
Cool.
This is a thirst trap for Miss Piggy.
Oh, cool.
I too am more than a last name and big city, office full of transplants from small towns. More than a sequin dress and plastic pearls. More than a chiseled chest dripping with sweat like a flute of champagne or a lager that smells of Christmas and high school. Remember how good we were at more. How the bottomless burnt coffee never bothered us, or how we always got free drinks when we walked into grandma's bar. Look at that kid go, a bombshell in a skirt with nails so sharp he could cut his wrists. I'm looking for a pig who can handle this, like it's a lifestyle, not like some leftovers.
Like that one. I like the nails, the dichotomy of the nails. So sharp, but they can cut yourself.
Mm-hmm. I went like probably nearly a full year with acrylic nails. I don't have them anymore, but when I was working on that poem, it was one of my acrylic months.
You have like a bunch of You have several thirst trap poems.
Yeah, I started working on a daily poem project a couple years ago, where I was trying to write a collection of these odes to strong fictional divas. And that's kind of how I stumbled across Nancy Drew as a subject. Okay. She was among this pantheon of strong female energy. And so I have a lot more of them than in the book, but I would say about 50% of the book is a collection of these, what I call them thirst traps, but they're kind of sexy little sonnets.
A lot of those poems, you have like a sonnet project too, right? That's basically part of the daily...
Yeah, I almost exclusively write sonnets. I've always been drawn to the form. I'm I I have trouble with like collecting things. I love cute little containers. I see the sonnet as very malleable in like serving that part of my personality. I also love the idea of just like writing poems for other people, and the sonnet has always been a poem that you are supposed to give to someone.
I didn't know that. I mean, I guess some of Shakespeare's sonnets were like that, but I never thought about it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah, I do write other poems, but everything tends to start as a sonnet.
That's kind of interesting. It's kind of a nice little trick, and the whole writing a poem a day. Like I found the was that the I wanted to ask you if you still had Well, still, I was going to ask you if you still wrote a sonnet today, but there was also the sonnet timer you had.
Yeah, I oh I can well I mean it's on a
You
radio.
don't have to show it. We're on radio.
I don't have to show it. I'm on my husband's computer right now at their desk. But on my desk I have a little hourglass that is 14 minutes long. I don't think 14 minutes is a lot of time to like throughout the day, like you can spare 14 minutes to write a poem.
Yeah.
So I really like the idea of trying to concentrate on getting 14 lines in 14 minutes. I don't always write that way, but that's kind of where it came from, was this timer that happened to be 14 minutes long. And I was like, oh, that's the perfect amount of time to write a sonnet.
No, that's pretty awesome. That's like a neat little trick that perhaps the listeners out there can use to inspire themselves as well. Yeah, no, it's I found that really interesting. I saw the photo of the timer as well, but I
I
yeah.
think that was with the Souvenir Lit. I
It
think
was,
that's
yeah.
the website. They ask for a picture of a souvenir when you get published with them, and so that was just something that I thought works well when like showcased next to my poetry, since it's almost always a sonnet. Like, might
Yeah.
as well show them the timer that it came from.
It's perfect. Do you want to read another poem, or do you want me to talk about White Stag Publishing?
Sure, I can read another one.
Okay. And after that, I'll mention the. We can talk about White Stag Publishing. Courtney couldn't make it today, correct?
Yeah, I emailed her again yesterday, and I still haven't heard back from her. But
that's, I mean, people are. I mean, editors and publishers are busy. Yes.
Let's go with the title poem, which happens early on in the book. I wanted to, well, I'll read it first. The autobiography of Nancy Drew. Tell the school your Aunt Carolyn writes the Nancy Drew books about you, and watch teachers argue mid-cigarette break over who is lying better, you or your parents. It was my grandma who told the best lies. That the 4th of July fireworks were for her, and that Diet Tonic tastes the same as a Willie Nelson concert she snuck you into. She got out of show and tell when her mom passed away. I was so upset I skipped too. Who doesn't want to show off a woman who tickles the cadavers in the morgue across the hall from her office lunchroom just to see who around here is really dead?
I love that ending.
Yeah, my maternal grandmother, my grandmother Harriet, worked as an administrator in a hospital, and her office was in the basement, and the morgue was in the basement. So we used to make jokes about her working in the morgue. And the cafeteria was also down there too. Like the staff cafeteria was down there. And I always thought it was kind of creepy that the cafeteria was so close to the morgue, but she thought it was great because it was convenient for her.
Yeah. No, that's yeah. Gallows humor a little bit. Except it's not gallows, but.
And then, so just that mythology of grandmother working in the morgue, like the way that our parents would talk about it kind of preserved it and elevated what my grandmother did. And so as I'm like trying to write these odes for these strong fictional women, I wanted to do the same thing with the women in my life, by elevating their stories, and kind of preserving the mythology that was passed down to us as we were learning about them and living with them.
Kind of a prism of like including both like the parents you drew and your grandmother, and kind of, and I'm making hand gestures that don't match on radio, which a habit I have, but no, I read that one on the website. I like that one a lot. I liked how it started too. It's kind of mysterious, but
I came up with this poem because my grandmother Harriet, the one who worked in the morgue, her birthday was on the 4th of July, and she grew up in a very large but very poor family. And she always told us that her parents pretended that the fireworks were for her, like, oh, look what we did for you for your birthday, this little special treat.
That's genius.
So it's kind of like an economical storytelling and mythologizing, that I feel like the working class in general, like, really like can relate to. Like, we all have those like excuses for why things are done a certain way. And so I was trying to find a way to connect my family to these women in a very like tangible way. And this idea of lying, because like that's just a lie that my great grandparents were telling my grandparents. But it was like the Santa Claus lie. It was only kind of a lie. And it was, so I needed a poem early in the book that set the grounds for these kinds of lies, these family lies that create myths in our households. And I felt like the kind of family that would tell their kid that the fireworks are for them on the 4th of July would also be the kind of family that would kind of be like, oh, you know, my great aunt Carolyn writes those books about you. Like a little fib to make a little present a little nicer.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like a myth. It's like a making a building block that we can stand on.
Yeah.
To rise a little.
Because the book isn't overtly about Nancy Drew, I knew I needed a poem like this early on. And this poem actually took several other forms. I grew up in a very large family, riddled with divorce. So everyone got divorced and remarried, which like quadruples the amount of grandparents you have.
Yeah.
So, there are 8 grandmothers in this book. I think I counted up to 14. I think I have 14 grandmothers, if you include people on my husband's family, and then their divorce and new marriages creates even more grandmothers. So 8 went to 14 after I graduated high school. So originally this poem had 8 sonnets, one for each grandmother. And it didn't really work as a long sonnet sequence that way. So I ended up taking them out, the poems about the other grandmas, and I snuck them in elsewhere in the book.
Okay.
So there's a lot of poems that have titles that are Nancy Drew titles or titles that are almost Nancy Drew titles. And those are poems about the other grandmothers in the book. I wanted to create like a Frankenstein grandmother and take attributes from all 8 of them and put them into one, and create this fictional mega Zord grandmother. Because sometimes I'm talking about one and referencing the other, just to make the poem a little cleaner.
Yeah. No, it's I'm kind of impressed that you have like the structure down for the book itself in terms of how, planning what poem goes where. I'm moving my hands around again for sure.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, that you have this early on, and then you seem to have it well planned out. Is there a date for the release yet, or is it in the future or in the past or in the
So I think we're shooting for mid-February.
okay.
Courtney told me that she there was supposed to be a book ahead of mine, and then a couple weeks ago she realized that she needed to switch the release dates. So we were shooting for like a early March, but now it's probably going to be closer to mid-February.
Okay, so it's like probably in the next week or so, the autobiography of Nancy Drew out from White Stag Publishing. Be able to find it on
Right
what?
now.
Yeah, right now. You should look it up right now. But White Stag Publishing was founded in 2013. It's based in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm drinking some water because it's not warm here, unlike Phoenix, Arizona, which is probably not in the middle of snowland. But White Stag Publishing creates books based on alchemy and the occult with my handwriting is terrible, with dabblings of science and magic, activism and witchcraft, mysticism and spirituality, illuminating the mind and inspiring the imagination of others to flourish. That is a paraphrase of what is on their website. They mostly publish poetry like your book, RJ. But they pair some of the books with candles and crafts to create a ritualistic reading experience. And I believe you told me that they've already picked the candle out. Is it a candle?
Yes, it's a candle. I did not ask Courtney for permission to read the, because she sent me the bio for the candle, so we'll save that for the
Oh,
website.
let's not mention
I don't want to spoil the candle.
the candle is anonymous, but there will be a candle.
But it has dark, earthy scents. That's all I'll say about what it smells like.
Okay.
And as of now, Courtney and I are probably going to call it Thirst Trap. We thought it was appropriate
That would
to pair with my book that is essentially a collection of thirst traps.
and what here's hoping that we won't need the candles because our power won't be out in the week or so, the weeks after the show airs.
And you can, instead of having to use the candle for utility reasons, you can sit down in your chair and read the book and smell it while you're reading the book.
Yes, I think that's a beautiful idea. That whole like experience of change, having something that connects with the experience of reading. It seemed really interesting to me. I'm trying to. If you want, do you want to read another poem? I may have more questions in a minute. I wrote them down somewhere, but I'm not sure where they are.
Let me read one of the longer ones.
Okay, cool.
This is another formal poem. It's not a sonnet, it's a villanelle.
Oh, cool.
The Gospel According to Sam and Diane. Another episode where the poet and the alcoholic argue until the credits unfurl sideways. Their whispers descend until stop the fire. She scoops out dead wasps from the bowl like peanuts and pours them into her mouth. In another, where the poet and alcoholic dance, let your eyes close and loosen your lips. Sand shakes on the floor in small tremors. Their whispers descend until stop the fire. Cheers. Makes for small distractions, toothpicks from the corners of our mouths like epitaphs. While an episode where the poet and alcoholic hollow out cavities carved into their thumbs. I've waited in the arcade for at least a decade, for whispers to descend until stop the fire. I heard all eight of my horses cry for me. Frame by frame, the lost boys learn to lose. Another episode stars, the poet and alcoholic. Their whispers descend until stop the fire.
Wow. A villanelle about Cheers.
A villanelle about Cheers, yep.
It's been so long since I watched that show. I don't remember it very well. I can't remember if Sam was an alcoholic or not.
Sam was an alcoholic.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he was a bartender, so good chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a sober alcoholic. He wasn't just an alcoholic, he was a sober alcoholic.
Oh, I missed that part. I probably only watched the first couple seasons, and he probably admitted it later on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the way, and Diane wrote poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So I also missed.
Yep.
I don't know. It just brings back a time in my life where I was watching a lot of TV and then I just stopped. And I missed out on the characters of Cheers, which I actually didn't have much of a problem with that show. So enough of my digression.
I don't know, it was before the pandemic. And I was binging shows at a time, and I really wanted to binge Roseanne, but I really didn't want to watch Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
So I was like racking my brain on things that were adjacent to Roseanne that I would also enjoy. My first thought was the opposite of Roseanne, Frasier. And I was like, oh, I remember liking Frasier. I bet this. And then I was like, if I'm going to watch Frasier, I should watch Cheers first. And I didn't remember Cheers as much as I did Frasier. I think my dad preferred Frasier. So we grew up with it on in the background. So it was really nice to spend a couple months returning to Cheers and then Frasier.
Yeah, that's. I'm trying to think of the. I don't know, the TV shows I binge watched like during the, well, my pandemic experience was abnormal for in that I had 3 months where I was getting paid more than I would make working from unemployment, which was bizarre. And then I went back to work and took a pay cut. So I didn't have lots of free time after that. So I don't know. I mean, although I think I binge watched Loki and a couple new shows, and then we quit paying for Disney Plus.
My husband Michael and I, we were planning on relocating to Portland already. Like, we had already started moving to Portland. And then everything closed. And my original plan was to transfer my job here. But by the time the move was happening, everyone was laid off. So I ended up needing to reapply for my job by the time I got here. They couldn't just transfer me over because no one was hiring.
Yeah, no. It affected a lot of people in different ways. It's like our situation was way different than.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like struggled a lot. We didn't struggle, but it was just bizarre for us. And like, and also there's still effects. Like, I'm doing this right here and we're not in a studio at KABU, which is originally this was Walt Curtis's show. And while Walt has passed on, when we were doing shows in the studio, and he preferred that. And then I started doing shows at his room, and we would just talk in his room, much like we're talking right now and reading stuff. But like, a lot of things just change. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. Everyone knows that. So Nancy Drew was kind of an inspiration for you a while ago, or is that kind of a newer?
It's kind of a newer obsession. And I'm actually kind of glad about that, because I feel like like right now I'm kind of getting exhausted by my obsessions. So it's been nice to kind of be like, oh, I'm going to start talking about Nancy Drew, something I haven't really talked about before. So now I'm like, I've started like a Nancy Drew collection of like Nancy Drew paraphernalia and memorabilia. I had read some of her books, but I didn't grow up reading them. I definitely grew up reading Agatha Christie. I think my mom grew up reading Nancy Drew and I grew up reading Agatha Christie. And but they were actually her books. She gave them to me. Anyway. So she wasn't one of my childhood obsessions, but is slowly turning into one, or quickly turning into one, just because of the nature of this book and kind of fandom and being a millennial with fandom.
I don't know if that's like a fandom thing is necessarily generational. Like on my experience, because I grew up watching kaiju movies, Godzilla movies, and that ended up being a thing with me, like where I one of the first poems I read or I wrote when I got to Portland in the early 90s and was going to open mics was Ode to an Old Japanese Horror Film, which is actually a bad retelling of a Gamera movie where he fights a giant knife blade. And it's like a ridiculous 60s movie I saw as a kid, and I didn't remember it right, and I have a ridiculous retelling of it. And I did a whole bunch of poems like that of varying quality, let's just put it that way. But yeah, I can understand how that would, you know, you have an obsession and you go through it, but then you find another one usually.
Have you heard of the poetry form, the Gigan?
No. Is that based on the Godzilla monster?
It is.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to write a Gigan.
I'm trying to Google it right now.
I won't interrupt. I am going
to... I'll send it to you later. It's kind of like a villanelle. So it's funny because it resembles a villanelle in that it has two lines that get repeated, but there the number of lines is different, and yeah, it's a different kind of form, but it's in the family of villanelle, and it was created by a contemporary poet. She wrote an example of this, that the subject of the poem was the Gigan, and then people started writing this form and calling them Gigans.
So I need to write in a Gigan. Which is, I mean, I don't generally write, I generally write in free verse, but my opinion is that if free verse itself is kind of a form, and that one of my influences is James Wright, who started out writing in a formal way and then broke with the branch will not break, broke straight from that. But even then, he references ancient Chinese poetry, and that's kind of what he was doing in that book. So in a way it was based on other works anyway. You actually have to, if you're creating any kind of artwork, you need models to actually make anything that works at all. So you're always dealing with a form. That said, it's interesting, you're kind of a new formalist, if you're okay with that term. I mean, that looks at all. There's a lot of people get lumped in with that, so
I can't deny that I'm a formal poet. I would hate to like declare myself one, because my reaction to form is very contemporary. No, that's not the right word, because there are tons of contemporary formalists. I guess I'm a little bit more loose with rules and procedures.
Yeah.
So I would never declare myself one, but nearly all of my poems are like sonnets, so it's hard to say that I'm not.
And it's kind of like you need a thing that it's something to play with.
I felt like I needed, so my Sam and Diane poem is pretty straightforwardly a villanelle. Like, you could kind of raise your eyebrows if you look at my sonnets and be like, are they sonnets? I play with the numbers and I play with repetition and I play with rhyme, but they're not Shakespearean. If you look at them straightforward, expecting a Shakespearean sonnet. So I wanted to provide a couple examples of poems that were a little bit strongerly formed. And the Sam and Diane poem is that. And the last poem in the book is a Sestina.
Do you want to read it?
Sure, I would love to. Listeners, if you aren't familiar with the Sestina, the first stanza ends with six words that are repeated throughout as the last words in all the lines. And then it's kind of tradition to make one of the words impossibly hard to repeat so many times. And it's also kind of okay to change the words up a little. So if you're expecting the same six words over and over and over again, I've kind of played around a little bit. This is Disaster Transport, and it is my Mother's Day poem, because I think everyone needs to write a Mother's Day poem.
Okay.
Disaster Transport. It's Mother's Day and raining at Cedar Point. In the puddle, you sip pseudoephedrine and eat poached eggs from the pier. Your family rides your favorite roller coaster. Disaster transport. A cargo run toboggan ride without you, and cool shadows drink alcohol. In the nearby saloon, pink ladies sling alcohol. Pints and mason jars clink, and acrylics point at the three-legged cat atop the coasters. Mom's worried you finished the pseudoephedrine and swears from her seat at the toboggan. In her chest restraints lock and instructions appear. On the plasma screen, the whole earth appears, lost in the dystopian narrative, and alcohol rations, first aid kits packed in the roller coaster. You love the story the ride tells, the point, pinning humanity's survival on pure adrenaline instead of television's stale sitcoms and tobacco. Grandma pushes your wheelchair, smokes tobacco, and makes the whole lifestyle of drunk appealing. She manages a dive bar and serves adrenaline in shot glasses poured over cheap alcohol, roils the whole town up to a boiling point. You were a hit by a truck. Remember that roller coaster? The way the whole town rolled around so sure you died strapped into that ambulance toboggan. From Flatlandia, they brought you back up to a point. As they unwrapped your face, your eye reappeared, and you yourself plopped it into the alcohol. That was your choice, not the pseudoephedrine. But why not affix the blame on grandma? Sure, generational trauma excuses quite the roller coaster. The box says best not mixed with more alcohol. Thank the cat you never picked up tobacco. That'd be another habit to make disappear. Drop us off before you arrive at the point. Two things can be read true. Alcohol and Eggs Benedict taste best before pseudoephedrine and roller coasters. And grandma's drinking ran through the point.
Adrenaline and pseudoephedrine.
Yeah, those were
roller coaster.
There was another pseudoephedrine, adrenaline. What was another good one that I found? Benedict and toboggan were two that were really close that I had to play with. Tobacco, toboggan, tobacco, and Benedict.
Toboggan and tobacco. I didn't even catch that. I thought they were two different words they were using. Now, that was clever. Listeners of KBO Portland of Talking Earth, you've been listening to RJ Equality Ingram and his poetry. From that, that's all been from the autobiography of Nancy Drew, correct?
Yep, all of that has been.
Yeah, and we're not. I mean, I just want to let people know that you're who you are, and that you're listening to 90.7 FM dial.
So I just read my Mother's Day poem, but I also have a Valentine's Day poem.
Cool. Very
And
appropriate.
I know, I was like, I gotta remember to read that poem because it's right around Valentine's Day. And also, I figured a Valentine works well next to so many thirst traps.
Yeah.
Okay. Valentino. This is a Valentine's Day poem because there is something Freudian about walking into an adult bookstore to buy my fiance a dildo and to be caught by one named after my best friend. The best friend I left stranded on the dock, on the other side of the bed looking down. This is where I am now, shuffling the cards, for the first time, sighing quietly to myself. Happy Valentine's Day, Valentino. I cut my hair, trimmed my beard, painted my nails, record scratch, interruption black. Happy Valentine's Day, Michael. I got a manicure, then walked around the lake, bought love in a single shattering shape.
Thank you again for coming on, RJ.
Thank you for inviting me. This was fun.
This is very fun. I mean,
And we only talked about like a good fraction of the book. There's a lot more to unpack too, so I feel like we didn't spoil too much.
no, people should get it as soon as they can from White Stag Publishing around now, published around now or coming up. And I'll in the future. When I finish the show, I'll probably have updates. I may have updates after write this segment.
And my website should be running by then too. You can find me at rjequality.com.
Thank you. My guest tonight has been RJ Equality Ingram, and I'd like to extend thanks from Talking Earth and to everyone. I'm not sure what's going to happen after this moment. But
But
we'll
yeah.
continue on the show. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
And now we are going to hear a word from my late Siamese cat, Leo. You are currently not hearing now on the KBO airwaves is my cat Leo. It's a Siamese cat. He prefers to meow only when not being recorded. I wish I could record him in honor of International Pet Day. Or National Pet Day. But obviously, I can't force him to meow if he doesn't want to. That's Leo. That's Leo suggesting that you can donate to KBOO at kboo.fm/give. He feels it's very urgent that you do so. And now he's going to play with his
Stuffed animals. Back to our show.
And now for a complete change of pace. We are going to air excerpts from The Last Stand at Wildwood Saloon, open mic poetry reading, beginning with Mike G, the host. There were no cats anywhere.
Now I'm going to be slightly funny and then read a little bit about Brenda, which will be a little sad. But it's fine. It's fine, dude. You know that I'm self-important. I mean, well, yeah, but we're not all self-important.
Yeah, but you're important.
Meaning self-absorbed, and I'm trying to be like a more decent person as I get older. Let's see.
Well, you end up in the same place either way.
All right, February 5, 2024. Welcome to the Wildwood Saloon. Last stand, open mic. Anything is allowed here. A poem, a rant, a joke, a whatever. It's free speech central. Since 2006, when Tommy Gaffney and Frank Soss started the reading, I've been coming here since 2007, and the reading's been keeping me sane. So thanks for being here, whether you read or not. Listen or not, care or not. Thank you, I appreciate it. I'm Mike G, I'll be your host. Like Harry the cat, I sneak a drink from the bird bath. The birds steer clear of our suffering. It's late, I'm home. You don't know, this is what I see. You sleeping between our two furry parentheses, warming your dreams. We can't find happiness in the same place we lost it. How do I proceed? It starts with feeding the cat. Since Brenda died, sometimes I pretend the beer is my friend and say sad but healing things like, is this as good for you as it is for me? If poetry were a competition, it would be a very sad one, with none of us scoring any loot and all. When wound meets salt, an explanation of what it means to be human is very close. When we look back to our six-year-old selves and what we dreamed and what we feared, isn't it extraordinary what we've become with all we've suffered and all we've loved? February 4, 2016. We were new to each other, bitching about our aging bodies falling apart again. We ain't no spring chickens no more. We prepare to make spaghetti now so that we can forget about growing old. I, Indian summer chicken, Brenda, autumn chicken. Yesterday, February 4, 2024. Just thoroughly cleaned the bathroom for the first time since Brenda died. I needed to prove to myself that I could do it, like Brenda always did it. This is the ultimate sign that I'm doing well. Thank you, Brenda. The reason for bad language is that sometimes the experience of life seems bad. I'm optimistic about my own sanity, but not my own longevity. Beers and smokes, perhaps after returning 1,000 times as a calm, neutered cat, I'll be ready to be human again. If it weren't for despair, I would have written nothing and enjoyed a nice career at Liberty Mutual. Our kiss felt so real. I almost believe it is, I said in 2018. We both suspect we're simulated, Brenda said in 2018. I love you anyway, I said in 2018. Anyway, when I'm very old, like in 4 years when I'm 60, I'll be so enlightened and wise with below zero sex drive that everyone will call me the happy widower. Thank you, Brenda. Welcome to the Wildwood Saloon, last stand, motherfuckers. All right. We're still here. no matter how hard the world is and ridiculous, my goal is to keep living to experience the spectacle of the 2024 U.S. presidential election. I got my popcorn and liquor on order. In bulk, I won't be working that night because at the Schnitz we usually have some stupid political group doing some stupid election night comedy. And in 2016, it didn't go over too well for them. I won't be working election night, motherfuckers. I got my popcorn and liquor. Fuck that clown show. Who wants to go next? Anybody? Benjamin, Patrick, or Colleen?
I'll go.
Colleen Schultz, first time here. Welcome to the Wildwood Saloon.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Colleen Schultz, and I and Michael have worked together for a few years now, and it's so lovely to be with you tonight. Now, I'm not creative like you boys are. I've never written a poem, but my dad and mom used to write letters. That was a thing in the old days, writing letters. My dad was a salesperson and a rep for Marshall Wells right here in Northwest Portland. Does anybody remember that name? No? Yeah. Anyway, he sold Coleman furnaces and HVAC and installed them. And it took him out of town often. So he and my mom, who were married in 1953, it was quite a love story. I have lots of love letters, but I thought I'd just bring a generic one. Original envelope, airmail from Crater Inn Motel. Postmark, November 5th, 1953. As you can see, it's the original letter. And they used to have letterhead in hotels, you guys.
Wow. Those
and my dad's handwriting and mine is almost identical. It's so funny. Okay, here we go. Oopsie. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Sorry for the delay. Okay. Crater Inn Motel, November 4th, 53. Hi, honey. Just a few lines to let you know that everything is okay down here. We got in about 5 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Started on this job this morning. We sold the homeowner on using ceiling blinders, whatever that is, and saved at least 2 days' work. We have the first job almost done, and tomorrow we'll start on Dad Don Adams' job. We figure we can make one run for Adams and then go back to the other job. And by that time, the boy should have that finished. Boy, oh boy, what luck. Anyhow, my mom and dad used to always say anyhow. Anyhow, honey, our plans are to pull out of here tomorrow night, Thursday, and drive real late and get in sometime late tomorrow or early Friday morning. Of course, our plans may have to be changed, but don't drop dead if I come in about midnight tomorrow. Don't tell anybody about this, of course, as I plan to tell Beamer, that was my dad's boss, to tell Beamer that we were down here until Saturday. I will fix it with these boys down here to tell him the same thing. Well, we have to go now. We'll see you soon, I hope. All of my love, your husband, Wes.
Yes! Woo! Thank you. was a letter from the before times.
That was. Boy, oh boy. Now there's, I have so many love letters, and maybe one day I'll bring one of those. But this was just one of his generic, what's going on?
Oh,
thank you.
Ken, I'm Mike. We have another reader. First time reading.
Welcome, Ken. Whatever you want to say.
Thank you.
Ken's here to close out the reading. Wait, what was the
90.7 FM?
In the website?
Yeah,
the website. Because I'm going to
list. KBOO.FM.
KBOO.FM. Cool.
Our local radio star.
Next Monday night.
Oh.
Not all of this is going to be on there, but honestly, Mike will be on there and maybe I'll put him on there.
Sweet.
Maybe Benjamin will be see. I'm not going to get along, though.
Welcome, Ken. Off.
Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Sorry, the microphone doesn't work.
That's perfectly fine. I'll just belt. This reminds me of my veteran meetings where people come and share their thoughts and their being. I come to Portland out of Gresham for this exact feeling, to hear people share everything. I find myself working to get more money to then be in more debt, to then try to climb out. And it's moments like this where I hear someone yell, "I voted, and that's it." And you do what you can to be your true self. And exist in this world as you want to exist without the influence of everything else that makes any sense. Everything around you, nudging you to give your opinion in a way that pleases everyone else, but also solidifies who you are. I just want to say thank you for this random first Monday. Someone shares about a person I'll never know, sea monkeys I'll never grow, artists I've never heard of,
but you have now.
But I have now, and for giving me inspiration to share. And to be a part of. Thank you, Portland.
All right.
Thank you, Ken. And if you happen to be here on the first Monday in March, some of us will still be here. spilling beers or whatever.
not too much beer.
And doing our best. It's not beer.
I know it's not.
And doing our best in this crazy world to keep going day by day, no matter what our suffering joy is in our lives, and what's going on, and how much money we have or don't have. Thank you, Ken. And we're gonna keep going here, and let's just keep being real, and because what else are we gonna fucking do?
That's right.
Thank you, everyone. I have to work in the morning, but that's fine. Co-check at the new mark. That's no big deal. It's more than children's theater. I can sleep through that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll have my catcher in the rye. I'll be reading about phony people. And making fun of them and taking some solace in that. Thank you all for being here. On behalf of me, you guys helped me stay sane, and I appreciate it, and it matters. And my animals say it matters, because I'll be walking Princess the 6-pound Chihuahua when I get home, and feeding the black cat and Harry the orange outside cat when I get home. I'll have 6 eyes on me, so I better not drink myself to death. I better keep going, even though Brenda died. It's okay, she would want me to go on, and that's what I'm doing. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Portland. See you next week. Next month. Why am I speaking into a dead microphone?
Because you're showing me that it's probably in my animal.
Let's actually get it out because all of the lights are coming on.
Oh, yes, yes.
Hi, I'd like to thank our guests tonight, RJ Equality Ingram. Please seek out his new book, The Autobiography of Nancy Drew, from White Stag Publishing. Loved his interview. I'd like to thank the Wildwood Saloon, Mike G, and Colleen Schultz and Ken for letting me record them. I hope that gave off the feeling of live poetry that Walt used to want Talking Earth to embody. I'd like to thank Show and Tell Gallery for allowing the use of their recorder, and Talking Earth hosts Barbara Lamorticella and Dan Raphael, Dan, whose show will air next Monday night. And most of all, I'd like to thank KABU. Please, please, everyone, support KABU by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the Donate tab. Good night, everyone, and remember, the poetry is out there, the readings are out there. Everyone have a good night.